Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Like these people, they're just predators, or they're just some kind of, like I always use the example because I'm from Wyoming of a wolf. A wolf has some kind of sense. When it looks at a pack of bison, it knows the bison that are deformed. It knows the bison that maybe is missing a parent. It knows the bison that's walking a little differently than the rest. They just know. They know who is vulnerable and who is weak, and that's who they target. And predators are the same way. And they just know. I don't understand them. They just know who is weak, and they will, and they're patient. And this guy was just patient, waiting until his girl turned 12. She was Catholic, said, "Hey, I'm gonna give you a special confirmation. The only special Catholics get." And he raped her. And so that's, and we're doing our best to hold him accountable.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to part two of this week's episode of Game of Crimes with Murph in the Morning. Got a good friend of mine here. And if you listened to yesterday's episode, we're starting off smiling because we ended yesterday in a little bit of a dark place, talking about what we talk about, bad people doing bad things to good people. That's where we were yesterday. But our guest today, Tyler Schwab, he and I chatted a little bit before we started today's episode and put smiles back on our faces. But Tyler, before we get rolling here, you wanted to, there's somebody did something special for you that you wanted to mention here on the show.
Yeah. I want to give a special shout out to, let me just make sure I get their names right. Representative Art Wasat and, Scott Heiner, two legislators from the state of Wyoming, who invited me to come speak at the legislative session in February, in my home state, which has always been, you know, like a real goal of mine, like before I pass on to the next life, is to really just do more like in Wyoming, in Utah, in Idaho, in Montana, and like just this area that I love, California, like the Western United States, the mountains, all the different stuff. They're listeners to the Game of Crimes podcast, and they sent me an email. It was like, "Hey, we'd love to have you come speak and stuff and talk about how we just, we better Wyoming for like the kids there, you know, like you mentioned, you know, so much exploitation happens in Wyoming too. So many of it perpetrated by, family members, by trusted confidants because of the small town vibe that Wyoming has. And so, yeah, I just want to give them a shout out. Just if you're listening, like, what's up? Hope you're having a great day. And can't wait to see you guys in the legislative session and just how honored I am to work with them. And, cause like I said, like that's the place that raised me. And you know, you just want to give back in whatever way you can, to protect the youth that live, you know, it's all over the world, including the place that raised you. So shout out to them and can't wait to meet them in person.
Hey, Art and Scott, guys, thank you so much. And shout out to you. Thank you for supporting Tyler and what he's doing and giving him an opportunity to speak to the legislature. Cause that's how you bring more awareness. And that's one of the complaints I had with the United Nations. You know, let's just talk about that now since we're right here. I see you smiling. You're probably thinking, "Oh crap, what's he going to say?" But so this past October, Tyler was not available to attend the annual United Nations, what they call it, Trafficking in Persons Symposium. It first of all, it just amazes me to call it what it is. It's human trafficking. Why do you got to create this title? Trafficking in persons, because we're not talking about trafficking in animals. It just brought back a lot of thoughts of Washington, D.C. when I was still working for the government, where you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Okay. So, but what an honor to go over there. And I don't know if I should mention names. I probably should not, but I'll just say that there was a benefactor for Libertas named Ben, who was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Loved hanging out with the man. What a great individual. And out of the goodness of his heart, funded everything for all of us to travel there. Cause I wasn't by myself. Believe me, I couldn't go do something like that by myself. The representative for, I think, your director of justice at Libertas in Colombia, Mervin, who is a retired Colombian National Police officer who worked in Dejin, that's who Javi and I worked with when we were down there chasing Escobar. And then he also worked in another section called DPRO, which I think handles the human trafficking cases with the Columbia National Police. What a gentleman. You had a female chaperone there. I'm not going to mention her name, but she knows who she is. And Connie and I loved hanging out with you. Thank you so much for including us on everything. And then you had two former victims, Lucy and Ismi, and that's all I'm going to say, 117 and 118. The 17-year-old could not attend the conference because you had to be 18. You had to be an adult. But they were streaming this two-day conference. And so she was able to come in and read a prepared statement that, and okay, now I'm going to be the one tearing up today, Tyler, because when she read her statement, and we didn't see her, but you could hear it over the speakers, there was not a dry eye in the room that I was in. And there were several hundred people in there. I think they said there was 600 plus different NGOs, non-government organizations that focus on helping combat human trafficking and helping victims. And obviously they all couldn't come. So tons and tons of them were online. And then later in the day, the 18-year-old, she had her prepared statement and stood up and spoke. And it was the same thing all over again. Here's my issues. The first day of the conference was just the NGOs, what they call an alliance, were meeting and kind of getting to know people and exchanging ideas and things like that. So I just sit back and listen because, you know, there's an old saying that you can sit there with your mouth shut and let people think you're an idiot, or you can open your mouth and prove it. And so I just sat there and listened and learned. But then the next day we go in and we're in front of the United Nations. And they've got their big panel up on the stage, you know, and there's 8 or 10 people up there that are really important in the United Nations. They represent the, I've got it written here and I can't find it in my notes. It's the United Nations Office of Drugs and Crime. Yeah. Is that right? UNODC. Yep. And these were individuals from different countries. And I know the cultures are different than what ours are. And the lead of the panel is from a different country than the United States, but his approach as to how he handled things was so impersonal. It's the message I got from watching his actions and listening to the way he spoke was that I'm doing this because I hold the position. This is a pain in the ass. Let's get this over with. So after they do all their talking and they have different speakers, and then they open it up for the NGOs to speak. And this goes on for almost an entire day. Then this is what I saw when the NGOs would start to speak. This is what they're doing. They're not paying attention. They're on their phones. And then you'll see them showing messages to each other. And then you'll see them snickering up there. And I'm thinking, how serious are you taking this when you've got all these people who are volunteering and offering their lives to try to help people who are victims who have been kidnapped or being abused? And you think it's funny? And so the group I was there with, Libertas, they wanted me to speak, but I just didn't feel it was an appropriate thing to do because you had the two victims. I mean, they gave the strongest impact statements of anybody that I heard in 2 days. You had our chaperone. She spoke up and did a phenomenal job. And then I got a message from her on my phone that said, we, Libertas, really think you should say something. So, you know, I guess I opened my mouth and proved I was an idiot.
No.
But, and it was, believe me, what I said was not, it's not going to change the world. I just relayed the point that as a law enforcement officer, retired law enforcement officer for 38 years, having dealt with victims around the world and victims of human trafficking associated with narcotics trafficking and organized crime and so forth, that I was stunned by the division between the Alliance, which is the NGOs, and the United Nations, which I forget how many member countries they got. Is it 168 or 68, that whatever it is. And I made the point of why are you groups not joining together rather than you come around a couple of years and we throw a little conference for you and is anything being accomplished? I mean, when they that morning of the second day, when they're talking about the reports that were generated from the conference the previous year, still had not been completed. So how much of a priority is that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean to chastise them. I didn't mean to there, but it probably came out that way a little bit because they represent all the countries who can enact laws to fight this problem and bring more awareness to it. But yet they sit up there in their cushy little seats and they're on their phones and they're giggling to each other. And it just really pissed me off, to be honest with you. Afterwards, I made one statement at the end. I said, you know, there's an old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I hope everybody in the alliance continues to be the squeaky wheel. And I'm hoping that you people in the United Nations that represent your countries are the squeaky wheel inside your country to get legislation passed to combat this issue. So then when it was all over at the end of the day, a lot of people on that stage wanted to come and take pictures with me because they knew that I was involved with the Escobar investigation. And I never told them who I was. I got to be honest with you. It was hard to stand there next to those folks after what I just witnessed.
Yeah.
Because you can be a part of the problem and you can be a part of the solution. And to me, I don't see them offering any solution whatsoever. So what does that leave? You're still part of the freaking problem. And I'm, you know, Tyler, I hope I'm not putting you in a bind down the road. He'll probably, Tyler's probably thinking, geez, we're never going to fight for anything else.
No.
But it's just, you've seen it. I know you saw it. You went last year. I know you saw it.
Yeah, I saw it. It's just, it's crazy. Like the whole day just kind of dedicated to just how to not piss each other off. Cause that's what I gained from like the first day was like, this whole day is like, here's what you can't say. You can't say. And so I had what I wanted to say and they were like, you can't say it cause you're mentioning too many countries. You just have to just be so generic to not piss anybody off. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll, cause like what I said was nothing like compared to what you guys did. Like I just quoted Captain America or something and then moved on. I only spoke for like a minute and a half or something. And honestly, like I wasn't even sure how to continue to engage with the UN because the UN, like they, you kind of like when I went, I was really impacted by the idea, right? Like the good idea that it is of like just the goals, you know, the environmental goals, the justice goals, like all these different things, their facilities and like seeing all the flags together of just like, oh, what a beautiful world that would be. And just assuming that when you work for the UN, you're ready to just, you know, kick ass and take names in the name of justice. And it's just not that way. And the NGOs, like, I think they feel that too. Like when I went, it was just like, hey, the reports from 2021 aren't done yet. When are this coming out? And then I had other people that was like, why are we even putting in the report that no one's going to read? Like, why can't you just, you put it into something that people actually digest, like a podcast or a video or something? Like, no one's going to read this report. No one's going to sit down and read 340 pages of how the world got worse off because of COVID. Like, yeah, we know we're feeling it. And so like, I honestly wasn't exactly even sure like how to continue to engage with the UN. And when the invite came this year, I wasn't even going to answer their email. Not that I'm not, you know, want to be involved and participate, but I'm just like, I don't know what Libertas can contribute. And then, you know, the chaperone, I won't mention her name either because I don't have their permission to do so. And she's on vacation this week. So I'm sure that she wouldn't even answer her phone if I asked her, but she got the email. I sent it like, hey, we got invited to go to Vienna again. And she was like, I want to go. And she's been through a lot, like, and she's rebuilding her story in a way that's so beautiful and awesome. And she was like, I have an idea. She invited Lucy, who she's super close with, which shout out to Customs and Border Protection. If anyone from CVP is listening, like they're the ones that allowed Lucy to be a part of the foundation. And so just give them a shout out if they're listening, anyone from CVP, like you guys rock. Thank you for allowing this person to be a part of our foundation and getting the help. And then Esme coming in and doing her thing too. And she has this idea because both these survivors have desires to do something for the world in the name of service. Like in the future, one wants to be an attorney and one wants to she's kind of figuring out still of like what she wants to accomplish, but she wants to have an impact on the world. And so having them go and having them speak, and you talk about like just, And the person, the chaperone, I always use their name, the chaperone, she mentioned that they were the only survivors that really got a chance to speak. And that when they got done speaking, like people wanted to like take pictures with them. And one of the guys up on the front, like wanted their collaboration with something. And I almost think that you, like in an environment like the UN, I think that's how Libertas will engage with the UN going forward, is allowing survivors to speak their stories in situations like that. Cause I think that a group like the United Nations needs drastic examples of heroism and apathy to shake them out of their apathy. And,
yes,
I think that's our way going forward. Cause, for like a nonprofit standpoint, for the UN standpoint, and now like we bring it back to these individuals, like Lucy, when she first came to us, man, you can imagine, like the perpetrator is her father, and he just told her for the longest time, this is how men show love to their daughters. From the time that she was like 5 years old, she had no idea what real love looked like, you know? And when Customs and Border arrested that guy, they watched Lucy grow up in pornography on the guy's phone. And I've never seen like those agents in Miami. I've never seen a crew so dedicated to justice as this crew in Miami. When I went to that guy's sentencing in Miami, God, there was 50 agents in there. I didn't know who they were, because like they were there and like I hadn't met them before. And I was like, are these guys with the bad guy or whatever? But they were all there, and a lot of them had like separated to, like different agencies, but they came back for that sentencing because of what they witnessed that day. And like that girl, like she, when she first came to us when she was 13, 14, very distrustful. Her mom was very distrustful, obviously, for a lot of different reasons. And the first thing that we did to help was just buy them groceries. It's like, look, we know things are hard. Here's some groceries. Just eat well. If you never talk to us again, that's fine. Whatever you think. And now, you know, 5-6 years later, like her daughter speaking at the United Nations in Vienna, like the whole story is just so, it was very impactful to them, right? And so will they move the United Nations? Maybe. I doubt it. But at least the UN was listening to what they had to say, and they were getting some kind of emotion and want their help with some kind of future project. So maybe they're shaking those people in that room for the time being. But for those two girls who come from a history of abuse, of trafficking, and their abuse specifically was filmed and spread throughout the community, and so people know that, you know, they're the girls that were trafficked, they're the girls that were abused, it's on video. They now get to like take back their identity to where it's like, no, I'm not the girl that had an abusive dad. I'm not the girl that was in the videos. I'm the girl that went to Austria and spoke at the freaking UN. I'm the girl that went and did all these different things. I got to see the Eiffel Tower and all these different things. It helps give them back their identity, which to me, like, is for me, it's worth it in that moment. And then seeing someone like Ben there, you know, obviously his generosity is with not just a nonprofit, with me as a whole too. Like, he's invested a lot in me personally just to make sure that I'm okay. And to him as like a donor, to, you know, trust us enough to like send his money, and to see the people that have not only been rescued by the nonprofit, but also like what they're doing now, was just so freaking cool. And so I'm glad that they can be put in that spot to where those survivors can speak for themselves. And I hope that their examples of heroism will shake the UN out of their apathy, at least for a second. So that's probably how we'll work with them going forward.
I'll tell you what, when both of the girls spoke in 2 days, the only people that got applause were those two young ladies. That's how they positively affected everybody else. And these NGOs are stone cold people who see, just like you, see the worst of humanity. But even they were affected by these two girls telling their own story and being brave enough to stand up and do so. You know, I think it's Lucy is the one that's taken online college courses. Her English is, she speaks better in English than I do. I speak redneck and hillbilly, you know. She's done a fantastic job.
She has.
We had a blast. They were so generous. They brought Connie and I these little gifts of Colombian cookies and little Chiva, which is like the colorful buses in Colombia, keychains, and just little mementos of Colombia that we never met them before. But that's how loving and generous these victims are. They just want to be humans. They want to be treated like humans and not objects of disgust.
Yep.
I just could not have been more proud to hang out with them for the week. And, you know, hopefully our paths cross again, because it's just, for me, it's motivating. we came back, and I know we talked to our daughters about it, and they're both Colombian, as I mentioned yesterday. And we adopted them when we lived in Colombia. They very well could have ended up in the same boat as Esme and Lucy. You know, just by the grace of God, they didn't. That's just what happened there. So, I haven't even told you at this. I've since received an email from the head of the alliance wanting me to participate in something. And we just had so much going on at the end of 2025. Just didn't have, quite honestly, I didn't have time to dedicate to that. But I'm looking at, you know, I'll reach out to him here in 26 and see what happens.
Well, I think that's awesome. Like, I mean, the thing is drug, organized crime and trafficking. Like, is there any, I can't think of anybody better if they're willing to collaborate with somebody than Steve freaking Murphy. So I hope it works out.
The way I look at it is they couldn't find another idiot to do it. So they're like, hey, that's Murphy.
No way.
I think, and I'm certainly not poo-pooing it, I think it's a very honorable thing, and I'm honored that they reached out to me. I don't know that I'm the right person for them, but maybe I can introduce them to the right person. So one thing I want to ask you, and I think our listeners would be interested in as well, is how does Libertas find out about victims, and what are the steps that you take to pursue it? Once you get information that Sally over there is a potential victim of human trafficking or child exploitation, how do you get those tips, and then what actions do you take?
Yeah, most of our, in fact, all of our survivors are actually referrals from different agencies, whether it be other nonprofits, other government agencies, CPS. It's all referrals. So like, we don't go out and like seek victims like on our own. Like, our hands are full with like the caseload that we have. But if one of our partners refers somebody to us, like obviously we want to have the ability to say yes. And when someone comes to us, usually after having reported their abuse to whatever authority, they come to us in a situation of just vulnerability, because nobody ends up in a situation of trafficking unless there's just a lot of factors that lead up to that: hunger, prior abuse, homelessness, like all these different things. So the first thing is you just work our way like up Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If anyone knows like what that triangle looks like, the very bottom part of it is like food, shelter, water, medical care. Like, are you okay? Like, are you physically okay? Or do you have a roof over your head? Are you able to survive to the next day? And sometimes, yeah, sometimes no. So we kind of just work our way up like that Maslow's hierarchy of needs where, okay, you need medical care urgently because you have some stuff going on. Like, okay, let's make sure that's covered. Let's get you to the hospital. You just had a suicide attempt. Like, let's just work our way up. And it all leads to educational empowerment at the end. Educational economic empowerment, because we don't want them with us forever. Like, as much as they're great, we don't want them to be receiving help from Libertas forever. Like, we want them to be self-sufficient economically so that they can pursue the life that they want to live without the help of the nonprofit. And so like today is the birthday of one of the first girls I ever worked with in Colombia. She's turning 23 today, and she was abused by a guy named Victor from New York, who's now serving time in jail. But she was with us for a long time, you know, like she had some medical needs that need to be attended to. She couldn't quite find the right fit for education. She tried vet school and didn't quite like that. Tried something else, and she really found her passion with like this. It's like she started a company. It's like an Uber Eats, but for nails, to where people can request like a manicure or a pedicure, whatever it is, like with the nails. And she'll go to their house, she'll do their nails, and then she'll leave Uber Eats for nails. And she brings her own equipment with her and stuff. And so she's turning 23 today. Her daughter just turned, I think, 3 a couple of days ago. And so she obviously she's not receiving help currently from the nonprofit because she got the help that she needed. And now she's just living her life as a mom, as an entrepreneur, as whatever. And she's kind of like, that's kind of the goal of our program. We don't want you with us forever. We don't want to create someone that's dependent on us to survive the next day. We want to get you into a position where you can survive on your own. And that just starts out with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You just work your way up that triangle until you get to the very top. Now, once you're at the very top, more often than not, they are able to survive just on their own.
Wow. So, and my next question was, you know, when do you call on authorities? But it sounds like the tips are coming in from the authorities.
Yeah, most of our tips come in from the authorities. There may be situations where it's like, okay, this person, reported to the Colombian cost, but the Colombians aren't communicating well with the Americans, and so we'll communicate with the Americans. We'll make a tip if there's an American perpetrator involved. That's usually how we go about it. Or if the cross-border stuff can get a little tricky, but we try our best to make sure that both parties are communicating with each other. We communicate with both parties because sometimes those governments don't communicate the best. And like if we receive a tip of someone who might be participating in trafficking, but we don't have any victims, like we'll just give it to the authorities because like we're not here to investigate. Like we're not here to be like undercover or anything. Like we're just here to, when they get referred to us, make sure that they are safe, happy, healthy, they have food, they have education, they are protected. And then when the time comes to collaborate with the authorities and whatever they may need collaboration with, like we'll obviously help them do that.
You mentioned earlier that if anybody from CBP was listening, I know DHS is. I've got a good friend, Jared Murphy, who's with DHS. And he's, we worked on a different project involving police suicide, but that's how we got to know each other, was off the podcast here. At what point, so that's interesting that the Colombian police might not be communicating with the U.S. law enforcement, and then you guys step in and make that connection. I've seen photographs of you with CNP and with DHS in Colombia when either they're getting ready to do a raid, they're actually doing a raid, or the aftermath of doing a raid. Are you invited? Are you allowed to go to those, or is that just something you choose to do as a private citizen?
Yeah, we've been invited like in the past. I usually don't like to go on those because it's not my expertise. But usually we go just in case there's any kind of need of like aftercare, need to provide on site. And so those are the cases that, that I'll go on. But, you know, those cases can be, it's just, it takes a lot out of you emotionally. Like I was on one where like, I think I told you this story once of like the girl that was pregnant that I bought a chicken for that hadn't eaten in like 4 or 5 days because they wanted to like make her look thinner. And I mean, seeing a pregnant 14-year-old that was 8.5 months pregnant that hadn't eaten in a week, like that's just a lot for a human being to take in. And so, yeah, I don't go on those much anymore. And,
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
But I have done in the past but it's always just to help out with aftercare, just to make sure that the girls there, any kind of victims, any kind of whatever, are just safe and protected and can have their immediate needs met if there's no one else to meet any immediate need.
So is it safe to say that when these victims are rescued, they come straight to you guys and you provide food, shelter, clothing, medical needs? You're doing that immediately.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. I mean, it has happened. Like with the case of like the little baby from the case in New York, like that baby like came to us almost immediately after because she went to a family member after they determined this family member was safe. But I mean, if you're not prepared to receive a 19-month-old baby, that can come with a lot of stuff, which I learned the same way. They were like, well, they went to this family member and we're working with this family member. And she's like, look, I don't know how I'm going to afford all this. Like milk, she can't just drink regular milk. No, we can't do that yet. Diapers, like she goes to how many diapers a day? Like diapers are, you know, expensive. There's no Costco in Colombia. And I'm like, okay, well, let's figure this out. So in that case, it was like, yeah, it was almost immediately we came and we're working to get like take care of this baby. And a lot of it, you know, when we get referred like a case of someone that wants help, like they've already reported or they are looking to report and they'll come, they'll get referred to us. And we always tell like anyone that refers a victim to us, it's like, it's always their choice. Like, here's what we offer. If they want to say no, great. If they want to say yes, great. Like that's fine. And we've had people like tell us no before. I had one girl that this story, I think it's a good story. I think I really like when people move on and they're able to do things with their life. And, even if like we're affected by that, like we had this girl that we rescued from the Dominican Republic. She was taken there, trafficked, with a fake job offer. She was forced to work in a brothel for God knows how many hours a night. We got her out with the help of the Dominican government, flew her home, and started working with her to go through like this course of like skincare and I think an anesthetician. No, that's not right. skin, whatever the skin is, like the skin, I'm sure the right word, but it's something working with skin. And she was in that program for like 18 months. And we were working with her and helping her. And at the very end of her program, she sent us her graduation pictures. She sent us this really nice note that kind of broke my heart. She was like, look, I am so thankful for like what you guys did for me. So thankful. But this will be the last time you hear from me. I don't want to sound like ungrateful, but I am looking to move on. And even though you guys were the best part of this nightmare that happened, I still met you because of this nightmare. And so I'm looking to move on. I wish you guys the best. And this will be the last time you hear from me. And then she left our WhatsApp group and then it was done. And like, it broke my heart. Cause I was like, oh, like that's really sad, but it's also really beautiful. Cause she was like, I'm now ready to go. And I yes. don't need your help anymore. I'm thankful, but I don't need you. And that you move on. And so like, I still haven't talked to her. I wish her all the best. I hope that she's doing great. And I don't remember your original question. I don't remember why I went off on this tangent, but that's like that. That is something that can happen. And when it happens, as long as they are ready and able to then move on with their life in a productive way, because like the time will come when like Lucy and Esme take that step too, where we just don't hear from them as often. They don't need us. Maybe hear from like once a year, twice a year. Like just it happens. And our job is to make sure like when that day comes that we have prepared those two girls to move on 100% and be successful in whatever they decide to do.
Yeah. And no, your tangent fit in perfectly because it was, you know, when a victim first comes to you, do they immediately come into the program and then how does that progress? So, you know, the Esme and Lucy and the group that we went to Vienna, we had a little WhatsApp group chat there and I'm just not into that kind of thing that much. I know they probably thought I was being an old prude. Well, I'm an old man, you know. I answered a few of them and participated in some of the things, but it's encouraging to see, and quite honestly, the silliness of these young girls whose childhoods they've been deprived of their childhood, yeah. You know, and now they feel comfortable that they can be themselves and they can, the chaperone's daughter was there, you know, and so that helped out. And it's, I think she was 14 and you had her with the 17 and 18 year old. And I remember we all met up at a museum there in Vienna to go sightseeing. Connie was with me and we looked off to the side and there's the 14 year old sitting with the two other teenagers, just like little girls should be doing over there giggling and, you know, looking at things on their phone. And it just, this is kind of cliche to say, it kind of restores your faith in humanity that somebody stepped up and helped these two young ladies out. And now they get to have a life, a real life, not a life of misery, but a life that they choose.
Yeah,
man, this is a big stuff,
dude. And like, I'm with you 100%. Like first off, like with those two girls, just huge shout out like to DHS Miami, CVP Miami, and the DOJ Miami. Both those cases were Miami cases. And Esme's case, like, God, like I've just never seen such a coordinated collaboration with that case. With so many different parties. And then Lucy's case, like those CBP officers, my gosh, like those guys just are my heroes. Like they just wanted blood for Lucy. Like they were just like, this guy messed with the wrong girl. And she came back and she spoke and she was awesome. And they brought out like all like the agents that were part of like that arrest and stuff. And like Lucy's able to like thank all of them in person. It was just such a beautiful moment, you know, and all that stuff like that. And so many, like, I love what you mentioned, like, just that's something that like really gets me like in the feels is when I get to see them just be kids. Like, I can't get enough of that stuff. I just can't. And so like the girl that I was telling you about that, you know, try to take her own life, like with her, I've just had some really hard conversations like over the years of like when her mom had to flee because they tried to kill her, like just talking to her, like why she had to give up her rollerblading class. Like that was really hard. When I had to say goodbye for the first time in Tijuana and she was like, can you please not go yet? Like I had my first period. I need tampons, underwear. I've been wearing the same underwear for 5 days. I need you to stay 40 minutes longer. And like, you know, it's another hard conversation. Obviously, like when she tried to kill herself, just trying to just be super present with her of why that's not a good idea, why we need her, why the world needs her, all the good that she gives. Just really hard conversations that we've had to have over the years. And she's too young to have them, you know, like no kid should be having these conversations. And there was a time last year where I picked her up from school and she's just talking. And she was like, yeah, like my teacher and all these different things. And I like this boy, but this other girl likes this boy too. And like, so we told the boy he has to choose. And I'm just listening. I'm just like, and then like, she was like, we need to go to, we have an emergency. And for me, like my anxiety level is just like, whoo, like emergency, like what is it? And she's like, look, points her forehead. And I'm like, it's a zit. It's a zit. She had a zit on her forehead. It was like this big thing. She's like, you understand, picture day is next Monday. We have to fix this. And I was like, well, what would you like me to do about it? And she was like, we got to go to Walgreens. Kids in my school have been wearing like these stars that they put on their faces that like kill zits or whatever. And it hides the zits. It looks like you like decorated your face. She was like, I need one. And so we went to Walgreens. She picked out the color she likes. And that was her emergency. And we were talking and we were just like, for me, I started to get like emotional. So I put on my sunglasses and stuff so she wouldn't see me. But I was like, it's just so nice to see you be a kid. Like this type of stuff, like the boys or like the crappy teacher or the zits, like you're 14 years old. That's what you should be worrying about. Like we shouldn't have to, like, I'm glad to see you heal like in this way to where you just get to be a normal kid doing normal kid stuff. And to see that with like all these different kids like across the world, like it just, you know, just hits you in the feels to where like if you got to grow up because of something that we did, I mean, that's good enough for me.
That's a great legacy to have in your life. Oh man, it's you're very motivating and inspirational, bro. I gotta tell you, it's seriously, you
thanks,
are.
Buddy.
You know, I'm not just saying that. So here a few weeks ago, and I want everybody to know that Tyler, even though he can't go back to Colombia because of the death threats that are out there on him, he's still actively involved in the daily operations and fundraising and taking care of some of these families. I know it was just a few weeks ago, we were texting back and forth before Christmas, and usually we answer each other within a half a day or so. It depends on where he is, because if he's out in the mountains, he doesn't get a signal out there. Boy likes to hike, I got to tell you. But, it was like a day or so. And then when it finally did, he answered and he's like, he apologized. And he said, I was taking one of the children to the doctor. So when we finally got to talk, it was 3.5 hours each way to go see the doctor.
Yeah.
So you spent all day and he's not getting paid for this. He's just, that's the kind of guy he is. He's doing it to help other people.
Yeah, I love that though. Like I love, like you talk about like angels, like in the way, you know, like angels across the way and all these different things. Like, you know, Libertas, like we're growing, but like, for example, we don't have the money to cover the dental care for that family that was held captive by the cartel. And like a family that was held captive by the cartel, you can only imagine just the damage it was done to their mouths. Just, I'll just leave it at that. And so, dental care is really expensive here, even more so like when you're kind of fighting, you know, day to day to just see how you're going to survive. And so we have this dentist that stepped up, who lives 3.5 hours where I live. And he was like, look, I can work on them all for free if you can get him here. Can you get him here? And for me, like, that's wow. If you talk about my role is just filling up the car with gas, making sure they have a pizza in the back and then driving 3.5 hours there, waiting with them and driving back. Like, I'm happy to fill that role. Cause I mean, that we got there early morning and that dentist worked on 3 kids all day long. Cause as you can imagine, he found a disaster in each and every one of their mouths. And so him and his staff, his whole staff, like all of his dental hygienists and everybody, they just canceled their, like, I can't even imagine how much money they lost that day of just how much they could charge for, like, you know, just dental care and stuff. The whole day, week, work day, and just had the Libertas kids for all day long, and made sure they were taken care of and sent them on their way and didn't charge us. And I'm like, for me, like just the generosity of that act and just how much that meant to, cause like for, you know, one of our girls that he was working on is a 17 year old a couple weeks ago. And she has, because of the abuse that she suffered and some of the torture and stuff that went on, her the front of her smile is not the way it should look. And so for her, like this high school kid, you know, smiling all the time like this, because she's afraid to like show her teeth. Like what that doctor did is she like gave her her childhood back in a way where now she can take stupid selfies. She can do a TikTok that's like singing a song and like showing her teeth and stuff like that. Like he gave her part of humanity back and did it for free. And I just like these people, like there's so many evil people in this world, but man, like I think that there's more that are with us and with them. And it's people like this dentist who has no motivation other than he's a good human being to be like, you know what? We're canceling our whole day. We are giving up potentially, I'm assuming tens and thousands of dollars so that these kids can get free dental care and have a bit of their childhood back.
Gosh, I love it. Love hearing that kind of story, man. It just, with all the crap going on in the world, you know, there's still people willing to help out other people. Very good. Very good. Do you have any more recent rescue stories that you can talk about just so we can hear some more of the good stuff that Libertas is doing to help these young people?
Yeah, I actually have two of them I can share. They're both in Colombia. Some of the stuff that we've been doing is we're looking to expand. One of the ones is we're working with a really cool nonprofit that works down there doing more of like the undercover stuff. It's current police officers that go with cops and kind of do undercover and stuff like that. And so we're working with them, and they actually found a case of an activist, an LGBTQ plus activist down in the city of Bucaramanga, Colombia, who, you know, those kids, like they're just, especially in a place like Colombia where, I mean, Colombia is one of the leaders in Latin America of like LGBTQ plus people that are killed every year. Like the really nasty case last year of the hits, maybe it hits really close to home. It was a transgender girl in the neighborhood that a lot of our people live in. One of the gangs down there, because she was transgender, broke her arms, broke her legs, and then tossed her in a river, washed her drown, and filmed it. And oh yeah, just gosh. Evil, evil, evil. So being a youth that is LGBTQ plus, it makes them really vulnerable. And so these people would go to this activist for help, and she was like, "Oh yeah, I'll help you, but there's always that catch. But you're gonna start working for me." What she would do is she would traffic them out to different Colombians, like living in their cities. And so we found out, and they just needed some aftercare for some of the victims that had come forward, making sure that they were safe while they continued to collaborate with the case. So we provided that, and there's a really cool organization from Arizona that stepped up and helped us out too, a funding organization. And in the end, like in October or September of last year, the lady was arrested. It was a lady and her crew, which was 15 or 16 people, were helping her traffic these kids, and around 30 children were rescued from that human trafficking ring. Which a lot of those, some of those kids were getting aftercare from Libertas as well, and it was awesome. Like it's a new city for us, like Bucaramanga. It was a great case. We were happy to work with like this really good nonprofit. These really good cops that live out there in a different city. And really, like this lady, like bring her to justice, you know, like how do you use a position like that to then turn around and exploit those kids? Like those kids are looking for help and you're freaking turning them around and selling them. Like it was just a nasty case. And then we found, our latest case is actually a case of a Catholic priest, unfortunately. There was a mom that was friends with one of our staff members. And she said that her daughter was, saying that like this priest, like during her, I'm not sure the exact terminology, so all my Catholic friends, I hope they'll forgive me. But when they turn 12, like they do some, they take out some, there's some kind of ritual that happens at 12 where they.
Confirmation, I think they
have their confirmation. Where this priest in her church gave this girl a special confirmation. And, you know, people that, you know, use that word special with, you know, quotation marks, took her to the hospital, took her to get a rape kit done, and it was confirmed that this special confirmation was sexual assault when she turned 12. Come to find out that this priest was kind of like a traveling priest, like all throughout Latin America and Italy, to where he would infiltrate really poor Catholic churches. And he would come in and say he wants to, you know, be a priest, volunteer priest. Like, I'm not sure how it all works, but for a very small Catholic church, maybe doesn't have a lot of money, like a volunteer priest or something probably is a big deal. And he talked the talk really well. Like he knew the Catholic terminology inside out. And so people trusted him. And kind of find out he'd been doing this with false credentials under the Catholic Church for years. He's actually tried to flee the country. He was arrested at the airport. He's currently being tried, I assume, in Colombian courts and stuff. But the little girl was receiving care from us, not just like the mental health, but also like the spiritual aspect of it, because she's a believer, you know, like she believes deeply, like in her soul, and someone that shares her same belief, that was a leader in her faith, hurt her. And so just trying to help her like move on from that as well. And that's those are our two most recent cases that come to my mind. They're good cases, like they're small local cases, which I really like. And I really like just empowering local authorities to do what they're charged to do and just have like a little bit of help. And it should be interesting to see what 2026 brings us as far as more healing and more justice around the world.
Was just one question. Was that guy actually a Catholic priest, or he's just posing?
No, he's posing. He was posing, but he had the robes. He had the language that made him sound like one. And for like a rural place in Colombia, like I believe it was actually a member of our partners that has access to, like, because I think you can look it up. And like, I could be totally wrong here, so forgive me, any of my Catholic friends, but I think you can look up priests that are credentialed or baptized or whatever it is. There's some kind of database for them, because I think the Catholic Church is more united, I think, than other churches. But because he would travel to like these poor communities, even like the place that he was abusing in, it was Antioquia, but it wasn't Medellin. It was some kind of pueblo way, way, way deep in that state, to where maybe that church didn't have access or didn't know how to get access to like a verification system. And that's what he would target. Like these people, they're just predators, or they're just some kind of, like I always use the example, you know, cause I'm from Wyoming, of a wolf, to where a wolf has like some kind of sense, you know, like when it looks at a pack of bison, it knows the bison that are deformed. It knows the bison that, maybe is missing a parent. It knows the bison that's walking a little differently than the rest. They just know. They know who is vulnerable and who is weak, and that's who they target. And predators are the same way. They just know, like, I don't want to understand them. I don't understand them. They just know who is weak, and they will, and they're patient. And this guy was just patient, waiting until his girl turned 12. She was Catholic, said, "Hey, I'm gonna give you a special confirmation. Only special Catholics get." And he raped her. And so that's, and we're doing our best to hold him accountable.
I hope seriously he gets what's coming to him.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of the listeners know this already, but pedophiles in the prison systems do not fare well. And I really don't have a problem with it. You know, they took advantage of the most vulnerable and innocent people, our kids. You know, I don't think there's any punishment bad enough for them. Okay, so, wow, we've covered a lot here in a couple days.
Yeah, we have.
So just tell everybody, how can our listeners help Libertas? Well, first of all, let me ask you, do you have these benefactors that just give you unlimited amounts of money to run the organization?
I wish. And like, you know, we're funded by just grassroots people that maybe give, you know, $25 a month, $30 a month, as much as they can give to help the nonprofit. We have a good little base that does that. But we get no government grants. We get no government funding. We just try to hustle month in and month out to make sure that our people get taken care of.
Right. By the grace of God.
Yes. 100%.
So if our listeners want to help you guys out, how could they go about doing that? Where do they go and what do they do?
Yeah. So the best way to help us out, you just go to our website, libertasinternational.org. There you can make a donation. It's fairly easy. We have a donor box account that you can just log in, make a donation, become a monthly donor if that's something you're able to do. Volunteer, like if you want to reach out, just send us like a message on LinkedIn or on Instagram or something. Like if people want to volunteer, like we can help connect you either with us or with volunteer opportunities across across the country and across the world, because we have a lot of good partners. And if we don't have a place for you, like, we'll help find a place for you, because we never want like human resources and resources to go to waste. Like Chad Damien's group, like if like they're like, I would recommend them 100%. Like, we'll send people their way if they come to us and we can't utilize them. Like, if they can, like, we'll send them their way. And yeah, like, I mean, if you're in a position of like authority, like a legislature, and you want us to come and help and clarify, like, we're happy to do that at no charge. Like, obviously we're not charging, like, we'll pay our own way. And our thing is, like, how do we continue to make an impact? And specifically, you know, like here in the United States, we never want to make sure that we're taking care of the people in our backyard that's in our power to do so, educating on just the people that have come here fleeing violence, like what they've gone through, what they need while they're here. And then, you know, just as much as like we talk about this being the perv capital of the world, like, there are pervs here that prey on American children too. And American children, we definitely want to have them, go without help as well, or to have our input and our knowledge contribute to making the world a safer place to them. So just reach out. If you can't donate, reach out. Let's talk, let's chat, let's collaborate. We're happy to have a conversation with anybody to see if we can accomplish something to make our world just a little bit safer for the kids and make life a little bit easier for our survivor community and our law enforcement community.
Excellent. And, you know, you heard him say, and if you've listened to his previous interviews, there was one lady, I think, donated, was it $7, because that's all she had in her pocket. And it turned out that you were able to feed that little girl who was pregnant and hadn't eaten in 5 days. So no amount is too small, ladies and gentlemen. You're looking for a good organization to support. You want to help your fellow man. You want to help children. Who doesn't want to help children, right? I mean, I'm a jerk, but man, we got to look out for our children, because, and this is another corny saying, they are our future. If we don't help them when they're little, you've heard how they're going to end up. You know, that poor lady, I think you said she was 69 years old and she's still living on that railroad track. It's just horrific what's going on out there. Is there anything, before I let you go here, Tyler, that you wanted to bring up today that I've failed to ask you about?
No, man. I think, first off, just thank you and your audience for like all the support that you've given. Like, every time I'm on here, like, someone reaches out and either makes a donation or invites me to come speak at the legislature, which is awesome. If people have like talents that they want to contribute to, like I mentioned the dentist story, because that was just such a big relief for like so many of our people. If people have a talent they want to like offer, please like send me a DM, on LinkedIn or on Instagram or something. Be like, hey, I can offer whatever thing. Or like, you know, I think of just, you're so connected to like the population of like law enforcement and former law enforcement. And we talked about like the FBI case files, person, Jenny, is that her name?
Jerry Williams.
So like if people have like platforms like that, or platforms in the legislature on a podcast, or collaborating on some kind of project and they want a survivor input, like, yes, send me a DM. I'm happy to connect you with a survivors that support us and that can offer you some kind of support. Cause like, I'm a big believer that survivors can speak for themselves. They just need a platform to do so. And so if people want survivor input, like in their podcasts, in their books, in their meetings, in their laws or whatever, I'm happy to collaborate and connect you with them, like in our foundation. And then just again, Steve, like, thanks for letting me to come on the Game of Crimes podcast, and for your amazing audience and your years of service and your support for Libertas and your support, and you're just the best. And I just think the world of you.
Thank you, brother. It's, and as long as I'm running the Game of Crimes, and I have no intentions of ending,
good,
we will continue to support Libertas and try to bring awareness to human trafficking worldwide. For those of you that are listening and not watching on YouTube, first of all, go to YouTube. Type in Game of Crimes podcast in the search bar, hit the subscribe button when it pulls it up. And then you can see our guests, because I'll put slides in here as we're talking that'll have their contact information. But for those of you that are listening, you can find Libertas on Instagram at Libertas International. That's Libertas International. Same on Facebook, same on TikTok, same on X, the same on LinkedIn. It's all Libertas International. Their website is libertasinternational.org. You can also find Tyler on Instagram at TylerSchwab2020 and on LinkedIn at Tyler Schwab. And one thing I forgot to ask you about is, you've got your own podcast now, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's nothing It's nothing too crazy like the Game of Crimes podcast, but you're my buddy. He's a filmmaker, me being whatever I am. We have a podcast where we talk about different stories, different people that are living a good story. So like, you know, me and my buddy, because he's a filmmaker, we talk a lot about media that means a lot to us, media that's impacted us, and then just people that are living stories that have been turned into media, such as Steve Murphy, or like just people that are doing – living a story that's just worth sharing. Like, I'm just a big believer in stories, that stories make us and shape us and can shake us out of different types of apathy if we need it. So like the week that my podcast comes out, I actually interviewed a former professional basketball player. His name is JC Carroll. He's Utah State's all-time leading scorer, and he played for, I think, 12 years in Spain. And now he runs like a business, like helping athletes find like their second wind after they retire from professional athletics. But he grew up like two hours from where I grew up. And as a high school senior in Wyoming, he averaged 39.5 points a game. And so he is like a legend in Wyoming basketball. And so I had him on my podcast It's been fun, man. I got my own podcast, so people can check me out. It's Apple, Spotify, anywhere you find Steve's podcast, you can find mine too, just with much less subscribers.
Well, I don't know about that. What's the name of your podcast?
Locked Off Logic is what it's called.
Locked Off
Logic. Yeah, it's in my buddy Sam. He's the one that he came up with the name. It's, I guess, Locked Off is when like the camera stops running, like on a film set, and that's when you kind of discuss like what went not so right or whatever. And so because the camera's off and we're just talking, it's called Locked Off Logic.
All right. So check it out, ladies and gentlemen, Locked Off Logic. You find Tyler and I'm sorry, what was your partner's name?
Sam Sargent.
So I had the honor of being on their podcast and we had a lot of fun. And I've noticed, by the way, that Boyd Holbrook, the actor that played me in Narcos, has been responding to some of your posts.
How do we get him to come on the Locked Off Logic? I would love, because like my favorite movie is Logan, right? This is, you can take this out if you want, but like my favorite movie is Logan. I only watch it once a year to not like ruin the impact it has on me. And today is that day. Tonight I'm watching Logan, and he is the villain in that movie. And so I'm always, every time he comments, I'm just like, how do I get this dude to come on my pod and talk about Logan and then talk about playing Steve Murphy? I'm like, that's what I want.
Well, let me tell you, Boyd, if you happen to be listening, I'm going to be reaching out to you and ask for a favor. Dude. So we'll see what we can do.
Appreciate it, Steve.
Listen, brother, it has been truly an honor to have you back on here again. I'm glad that you reached out almost 2 years ago, that we've developed this relationship. I'm so proud of what you're doing with Libertas and what you've dedicated your life to do to help your fellow man. You're very humble about what you do. You don't want to take credit. You just want to get the job done. What I say here on the game of crimes is that you're being a hero, but heroes never recognize themselves as heroes. And that's part of what makes them a hero to start with. You're doing God's work. You truly are an angel in a lot of people's lives. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a worthy cause, regardless of how small your gift is, please consider giving to LibertasInternational.org. You heard about all the great things they're doing. If you continue to listen to Game of Crimes, about every 6 months, you're going to hear more success stories coming in. You're going to hear about these children that have just been deprived of their childhood who now have that childhood back, regardless of their age, because they've missed out on so much in life. So thank you guys so much for coming every week. Please tell your friends, come on over. The show's starting to grow a little bit. That's great. I've got some potential guests lined up. I've got some great guests already lined up. I'm doing a ton of interviews right now just simply because I'm getting ready to have shoulder surgery, and I'm a whiny baby when I'm sick. But I don't want you to miss any of the shows. But there's some other big-name guests I'm working on, so we'll see if we can make that happen in 2026. And that brings us to what we say at the end of every week. What the heck is wrong with you people? Why do you continue to come back? It's because you enjoy playing the biggest, the baddest, the most dangerous game of all. And that's our game of crimes. God bless. Stay safe out there. We'll see you all next week.
It's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.